Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, the third quarter comes to a close in markets this past week. Didn't really like it. The Dow Jones was off for the week 1.3%. Year to date, not up very much, a little over 1%. S&P 500 fell 0.7, year to date up 11.7. This was a tough third quarter for the S&P 500, down over 6% for the quarter. Had a really tough September. The NASDAQ, basically flat, still year to date up 26%, but third quarter again hit it pretty hard. Again, down almost 5%. And then the MSCI International Index down 2% year to date. We're still up a little over 4%, but boy, all those gains just sort of went out the window. The 10-year Treasury had a big week there, closing in at 4.58%. We'll talk a little bit more about the 10-year here in a minute. Oil, wow, I'm going to get into that too. Year to date up 13.3%, another big week for oil. And bonds are pretty flat, off for the week about 1%. So it's nearly 100% certain right now that the government will shut down tomorrow. And I'm confident about this at this point because there is no way that even if both the House and the Senate could come to an agreement, which at this point they won't, there's no way a bill could be signed into law just from the process. So the real question to ask right now is how long is this shutdown going to last, and will this have any effect on the market? So my concern is there is really no logical catalyst to reopen the government, which means a shutdown could be protracted. So how long are we talking? 3 weeks, 1 month, and potentially have a bigger impact on the market than previous shutdowns because, as I just said, with this September that's behind us, it was a pretty tough third quarter. Now we're going into the fourth quarter, and traditionally fourth quarters look pretty good after a third quarter. What I mean by that is if you look at history as any guide, the market says when you have a weak third quarter, they typically get followed by a strong fourth quarter. And so I'm going back to 1990, in the 11 years when stocks fell in the third quarter, the S&P 500 rebounded with a gain in the subsequent fourth quarter nine times out of 11, averaging an impressive 10.6% return in the final 3 months of the year. Notice I say final 3 months, because if the government shut down, say, for 3 weeks or a month, well, we're really talking November, December, where all the action's going to happen. Again, if we're looking at, any history as any sort of a guide. So remember as well, this is a full shutdown. None of the federal workforce will be receiving paychecks. So only those who are essential will be required to work and will ultimately get paid once the government reopens. Medicare and Social Security payments will continue, as will Treasury auctions. We won't be receiving any economic data during this government shutdown. And that's what's concerning me right now, because next Friday's jobs report, the September jobs report, we won't get that. And that's important because that's a big sign of inflation and what that looks like. And if the Fed doesn't have that information, well, they're flying blind. And so we won't get any CPI report, no JOLTS report or GDP. All that data, nope, none of it. It won't be released until the government reopens and starts to share that information again. So like I've been saying all year long, the markets have really been reacting to data. And if there is no data to look at, well, what's going to happen? So it's really an unknown right now. And so if you're looking for any sort of support level, at least on the S&P 500, on the down slope, I have a 4,000 right now. And on the upslope, I have a 4,500. And remember, we closed 4,288 for the week. So those are your numbers right there. Now, I got a really good question this week about the VIX, because we had some action this week in the VIX, which caused some questions. And so for those of you who know what the VIX is, it's the Chicago Board, CBOE Volatility Index. We call it the VIX. And it made headlines this past week as the market's fear gauge jumped to a multi-month high while stocks fell to the lowest level we've seen since June. So I thought I'd take a look at the historical inverse correlation between the S&P 500 and the VIX. So let's go back and look. After markets bottomed, remember, in March of 2009, remember it well, the S&P 500 and the VIX consistently maintained an inverse correlation, with the VIX typically going down as equities went higher. Think about 2017, when the VIX fell into single digits and steady market gains were at the same time happening as well. As we look into it a little bit more, S&P 500 dropped below the lows from late 2018. You remember it was at 2346 on the S&P. During the COVID crash, Q1 COVID crash, got down to 2191. The VIX blasted through the 2018 high of 36.2 and peaked at 85.47. Now, obviously, that was a much different time, but we just saw this past week the VIX sort of get to a sort of pattern where we saw the activity start to increase. So what is it and how does it work? Well, the way the VIX works is as people who are investors buy options, in this case puts, the VIX rises with the increased demand in the options market. And this occurs regularly during periods of volatility, usually in secular bull markets like we're in now, as investors prefer to avoid selling those stocks when they're down. Even though they're still down, they've made money, so they don't want to realize taxes. So in normal markets, new lows in the S&P 500 are almost always met with new highs in the VIX index. And so as the market recovers and the smart money reduces those hedges, the VIX tends to retreat, and it's often quite rapid. So when you look at both of the most recent major market peaks that occurred in 2000 and then again in 2007, 2008, this historical consistent inverse correlation between the S&P 500 and the VIX broke down as new meaningful lows in the S&P 500 were not met with new highs in the VIX. And so that dynamic reappeared in markets this past week. And so the question became, well, if we're looking at these bubbles and these corrections and ultimately some serious movement on the bigger index, you know, are we there yet? So first, what we need to see is we have to see this trend line. And so right now we're trending. We're looking at the March peak. It was 36.45. If you want to write that down, May was 34.75. June was 34.02. And the October peak, again, back in 22, was 33.63. So in 23, the VIX peaked at 26.52. This is back in March. And if you draw that line through now, which the number we just saw, 26.52, and close. So this is what people are looking at right now and getting concerned about. And so far, we're not seeing any sort of breakdown at this point. So what that means is, ultimately, is there could be a relief rally that's coming. And so that's why I'm giving you the upside of, say, 4,500 on the S&P, because again, if that doesn't fall down or break down, then we're looking pretty good. Again, with no data and a different market we're about to enter into, it's going to be an interesting week and maybe next couple of weeks. And so October, like always, is one of those exciting months. Now, as we talked in the beginning, I mentioned commodities, and there were some big moves in the commodity markets as oils futures, they went to a 52-week high, and gold fell to a six-month low. So let's start out with gold. Gold broke down out of a multi-month trading range to settle at the lowest level we've seen since March. And so looking ahead, as long as the dollar is strong and yields continue to rise, gold will remain under pressure. And so your support, if you are long gold right now, your support is looking at 1815 to 1860. That's your support. If we break through that 1815 mark, good luck, right? So there we go. All right, now what about oil? Oil, people have been asking about oil. You've been driving around. You see the price of gas. It's just getting more expensive. So this past week, oil ripped higher with the WTI topping $94 a barrel. This was the first time we've seen this since August of last year. And the headlines were also mixed as the commercial crude stockpile fell 2.2 million barrels. The estimates were around 600,000 barrels. So that was a pretty big difference. And then also we had domestic production this past week holding steady at an after pandemic high of 12.9 million barrels a day, which is up about 700,000 barrels a day since late July. And this is assumed to be offsetting some of the ongoing output cuts that we're seeing out of Saudi Arabia and Russia trying to manipulate that market. So bottom line is oil is in the rally mode right now, and the move into the mid-90s is largely being driven by tight physical market conditions and relatively low global supply. The uptrend is strong in oil right now, and oil prices will keep rising until there is some meaningful catalyst that will cause a pause in the rally. And so your resistance right now is 95.3 a barrel to 97, and the support level is 92.25 as support. So we'll just keep watching it and see what happens.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed is not considered your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.